everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday afternoon. We are live streamless. We apologize for the technical difficulties. We're working on that one. It's we're radio. We're a radio show, man. We're a podcast. We haven't figured out the TV part.
Audio show.
Anyway.
Audio exists everywhere.
I know. So, make me smart. Friday afternoon. Kimberly and I are still drinking, and we'll tell you that about that in a minute. Otherwise, we're gonna do your standard Friday thing. We'll do some news, and then we'll do some half full, half empty, and then we will be on our merry ways. So, here's what I want to do.
Ideally, our drinks will be half empty by then.
Well, that's mine already is, which tells you how long we've been going trying to fix the live stream. I would like you to share with people listening to this podcast the stonk tail extravaganza that you launched into our Slack channel mere hours ago.
So this is y'all's fault, you and Molly, by the way, because a couple of weeks ago, when y'all were talking about the GameStop and the stonk rally and all of those things, and people were trying to get you to say stonk on the radio.
Which I just did, by the way.
Fair. Is that on the bingo card yet?
No, but we should probably redo the bingo card. Anyway,
yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Anyhow, yes. So your very helpful listeners sent in many, many options for what a stonk tail should be, and I volunteered to taste some of them because I vastly underestimated the scope of the project at the time. We narrowed it down to a couple of the recipes that people sent in. First of all, I declined any of the cocktails recipe suggestions that had gin in them because I don't do gin.
Are you not a gin person? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Leads to poor life choices. And so the ones that I have are the first. So I have three.
What I love is that this answer is in the plural. The ones that I have. And I'm a single person living in a single condominium in Washington, D.C., but I have more than one alcoholic beverage waiting for me on a Friday afternoon.
I do. And sorry. You know what, Kai? I deserve it.
Oh, for sure. Look, we all do at this point. That was non-judgmental. Truly it was. Because I will be having more than one beer this evening.
So should I start with the brightest one or the most normal-looking one?
You have to pick. And let us just say that we're going to put pictures of these on the show page. I think Tony's off today. I think Mel Rosenberg's in. But there will be pictures on the show page.
All right. Let's start with the most normal looking one, which is this one, which came from Jesse. Don't you love my fancy Goodwill glasses?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what is this one? It said I was supposed to muddle rosemary with bitters, one part orange liqueur, 3 parts bourbon, ice, stir for 20 seconds with 4 parts plain kombucha, which I had to figure out where that was in the grocery store, I have to say. And then final stir with the rosemary garnish. Hedge, you know, like hedge funds.
I got hedge. So have you tasted it yet, or is this the initial taste?
This is the initial taste. And it's good.
And?
I really like it.
Okay.
That's a nice cocktail. I would drink it again. Okay,
and
number two. This one kind of scares me. It's called the Green Game Bowl Revolution. It was sent in by David. We've got 1 part Midori, 1 part vodka, and then Red Bull. And I was supposed to finish it with Pop Rocks, but they didn't have Pop Rocks at the grocery store.
Because that was sent in by a 12-year-old. Right.
And so instead, I made some gummy bear garnishes. Gummy bears.
Okay.
So I generally don't drink fluorescent things.
Midori's the melon stuff, right?
Yes. Yes.
The green stuff. Okay. All right. Give it a swig and let's see how it is.
It tastes like college.
Oh my God, it tastes like college. Okay, all right. We'll put that one off to the side. We're not going back to that one. Next, please. Yeah. Oh my Lord. What I love is how dedicated you are to this, because this is no small thing. Number one, ingredients. Number two, time. And number three, just the off chance that it's not going to work and it's going to taste like college.
Oh, my man. College.
All right. Anyway, what's number three?
This one is called.
And then we'll get to actual work.
Yes. This one is. I did this for journalism, Kai. I did this for journalism.
Yeah. Oh, look, I hear you. Participatory journalism. I get it.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is called. This one came from Luke. And it is called The Short Seller's Downfall, a.k.a. Missionary's
Ooh,
Downfall.
That's good. Yeah.
Half an ounce of fresh lime juice, half an ounce of peach liqueur, 1 ounce of honey, 1 ounce of light rum, 2 ounces of fresh pineapple, 2 ounces of fresh mint, and 6 ounces of crushed ice. Blend for 20 seconds and pour in champagne saucers. Now, I thought that might be a champagne flute. I've never heard of champagne saucers, so it gets another Goodwill glass and mint sprig placed in the center of the drink. So that's this one.
This is what I might drink. This is what I might drink. Yeah. I might drink. Let me know how it is.
It's good. It tastes like something you'd have on the beach. It's like a very beachy drink, which means
in a miserable Washington, D.C. winter, if my oldest child is to be believed.
Yes, I actually have little herbs out on my patio and went out in the snow to get the rosemary for that first cocktail.
You are a good soul. You are a good
soul. All right,
soul.
So those are the stong tails.
That was awesome. I 100% enjoyed that. That was great. That was great.
Did you enjoy that more, or my play-by-play in Slack?
No, the whole deal. Well, the Slack was fine because of the pictures, and we got to put those on the website. But I love the care and the dedication and the craft that you put into that. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Well, you know what? We all have hobbies in the pandemic, right?
That's right. That's right. I sadly have none.
All right,
okay.
Let's do some news.
Shall we get to the news? Yes. I'll go first because mine is relatively brief, and I noticed that you have three items, so we're gonna blow by mine.
They're all kind of the same.
They all are kind of the same. I'm just going to point out that we got today the first actual hard copy version of the Biden administration's $1.9 trillion relief plan. And I was interested as I was scrolling through this 591-page behemoth. The table of contents are 10 pages or something like that. I was interested to see that the $15 an hour minimum wage is in there. And I mention this not because that's news, but because of a conversation I had with somebody a couple of days ago about the minimum wage and whether it would do any good and how it was going to happen and would it actually cost jobs and all this. And it occurred to me that maybe people aren't aware that it's not like the minimum wage would go up to $15 instantaneously, right? It would be phased in over 3 years, about a buck and a half-ish, $2 per year. And I think that's an important piece of context that maybe is getting missed. Yes, Bernie Sanders said it, but whether or not this happens, and that, of course, depends on the Senate parliamentarian and whether or not that person, and I think it's a she, I think it's a woman right now, whether she believes that it fits into budget reconciliation, which is, of course, has to be revenue or spending related. But it's always so interesting to read these giant bills, and by read, I mean skim, but you find little tidbits. And here's my tidbit for this bill. So it lays out the year-by-year elevation in the minimum wage, and then it says after it gets to $15 an hour, it says, beginning on the date that is 5 years after the effective date and annually thereafter, the minimum wage shall be raised an amount determined by the Secretary of Labor under subsection H, which I just think is fascinating, that the plan is for it to be, in effect, an automatic stabilizer, unless, of course, the Secretary of Labor is not so inclined to increase the minimum wage. But it's a delegation of authority from the Congress to the executive branch about the minimum wage. And there's a whole bunch of caveats, and it's data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics and this and that. But little tidbits everywhere in this law, and you scroll through 591 pages of it, and you find stuff, and it interests me, and that makes me a total dork. Sorry.
No, this is super fascinating, because the other thing about having the Secretary of Labor do that, it means, you know, forever and forever, people running for Congress say, I'm going to raise the minimum wage, but they can't because they need Congress to do it. But if that is delegated to the Secretary of Labor, then it really will matter
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be a campaign promise that somebody will actually be able to keep for once.
For sure. For sure. Totally interesting. Totally interesting. Now, it'll be interesting to see if it stays in there. But for now, that's your little tidbit of knowledge. And we will put that, Mel, I guess we'll put that on the show page alongside Kimberly's drinks recipes. You know, so you can
I'm actually scared to drink another sip of them because they're all so different. Like one is bourbon, one is vodka,
and pick one is rum.
Yep. And the mixing is not going to be good for me later.
And that was college. That was college right there. That was college. Right. Sorry.
That is college.
Anywho.
Back to the news. Okay. So when I was on here talking with you and Molly during the election, the campaign, one of the huge stories was the massive voter turnout. And this has been something that, you know, Trump has been talking about. Like, I got more votes than any president ever before, except for Biden, who beat him. But again, just record-breaking turnout across the board, helped by mail-in voting, helped by absentee voting, helped by early in-person voting, and all of these things that were done in response to the pandemic, and they broadly increased voter access and voter engagement, which, you know, yay, good. However, since then, almost three dozen states have, according to the Brennan Center for Justice, introduced, pre-filed, or carried over 165 different bills to restrict voting access, which is wild. Now, granted, there are still a bunch of states and a bunch of communities that are working to expand voting access, yes, but there are people who looked at that election outcome and saw all of these additional people voting and were like, gotta fix that. And so we're literally trying to reduce the number of people voting, often based on, you know, just lies and things that are not true about the election being stolen and all of those things. So that is part of the story. The other part of it is that the Census Bureau, which gives us the data that allows congressional districts to be drawn, is late with the data because, again, pandemic, weird things that the Trump administration tried to get it to do, and then the courts and the fights and the back and forth and all those things. That all means that the data that would normally be coming out of the Census Bureau to help states figure out how to draw these district lines, you know, and it's a political process, it's all late. And so now, in addition to people being worried about voting rights people, this is what happens when you have three different drinks, voting rights people being very concerned about disenfranchisement in the law, there's also now these delays with getting this data out, which means that districts may be drawn with inaccurate or incomplete data and states are scrambling, all those things. Anyway, just putting a pin in it because it's worth watching. And again, as we said all last year, democracy is not a spectator sport. And just because you got your vote this year doesn't mean you're going to keep it.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I want to back up to that, those voting laws. Because I think while those of us who follow the news closely are aware of that, I'm not sure that a lot of people who are sort of tangential news consumers are aware of exactly what's going on. So I'm really glad you brought that up. I think that's important.
Yeah, it's terrifying because a lot of people checked out after the election. And they're like, okay, we did what we were supposed to do, and now we're all done. Well, but not done.
So, sorry, I can't somehow let this go. Did you see the one in Georgia where they're gonna stop Sunday voting?
Mm.
And of course, the thing is
that's a direct
target
of black people.
Right, because black people go to church on Sundays, and in black churches on Sundays around election time, they do a whole lot of get out the vote.
As in literally, after church, we're going to be running buses. If you want to go vote,
buses,
we can give you transportation.
Right. You bet. We're not talking about, you know, white Americans in Buckhead or whatever. We're talking about black Americans in South Georgia and whatever. And that's what this is really all about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just listened to a podcast on the Voting Rights Act and Section 5 and all that jazz. So anyway. Okay.
Again.
So shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Shall we? Okay. Charlton, save us from ourselves. Half full, half
empty. Green one.
All right. Let's hope this works. Let's hope this works. Because Charlton is driving and Drew's in a different room down there. So, Drew, we're at your mercy.
All right. Are you half full or half empty on foreclosure relief?
Oh, wow. So interesting.
Half full.
So interesting. Yeah, I'm totally half full. Totally half full. Now, let me give a half full with a caveat, right? Because Amy Scott did a really interesting story this week on Marketplace about it wasn't foreclosures. It was rent and eviction. It was eviction moratoriums, moratoria, and what happens to the small landlords, which are the majority of landlords in this country, right? They're moms and pops who have bought a property and rented out, not big conglomerates. And what happens to them when renters get all these protections that renters need, but the mortgage is still due on the property? So I'm half full with a you know, an asterisk, if you will. That's where I am.
Yes, that.
Okay. All right. Go.
All right. Tax season.
Half empty.
I actually have promised myself that I'm going to start digging into taxes, our taxes, this weekend. Somehow, in this household where my wife is literally in charge of all of our money, because I'm, number one, not good at it, and number two, I should not, if I have a show on business and the economy, have control over our money, somehow I wind up doing our taxes. So I'm going to start this weekend, but I'm half empty. I hate tax season. It's anxiety provoking, and I would much rather the government just send me a bill. Truly.
I'm just wondering what it does to people's confidence in you to hear you say that you're not good with money, but okay. So like the guy I've been getting
advice. I've said it before. This is, if this is new information to anybody, send me an email and I'll explain to you the backstory. But anyway.
I actually have started on my taxes.
Yeah.
I am not Mariel Segura, who does them on paper. I use one of the apps and things. But I was waiting for a couple more documents. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to finish this weekend. I did this story the other day about how there's a lot of outreach for the free file services.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody was wondering, a lot of people can have their taxes prepared for them for free and filed for free. You should look at the resources that are available online. Yeah. Sometimes there's been investigations into a lot of these big tax preparation software companies that they actively try to divert people away from the free services to make them do the paid services. There have been investigations and lawsuits. But just if you're struggling financially this year, you can probably do your taxes for free. So just putting that out there, but half empty, because this is going to be a complicated tax season for a lot of people who've been in and out of work.
Amen.
Are you half full or half empty on 3D printed meat?
Half full.
Wow. Are you?
Yeah.
Even after like the EO factor? Just a, oh God, really?
Doesn't gross me out. I mean,
oh, it grosses me out a little bit.
Have you spent much time? Have you ever worked in a fast food restaurant by chance?
No, I've never worked in a fast food restaurant. I have done some time in a pork processing plant, and I completely understand that. And yes, I'm aware of the climate implications, but I would go 100% vegetarian before I might easily consider 3D printed meat.
Oh yeah, I'd be happy to eat 3D printed meat if you know. It literally cannot be worse for us than some of the stuff we put in our bodies already.
Totally fair.
What was it? What was that book that came out in like the 20s or 30s where the guy went into the sausage factory and?
Oh, it was Upton Sinclair. It was I want to say The Jungle, but that's not it. Might have been.
Yeah, The Jungle. I think that was what it. Yeah. And it revealed
to people
exactly what they were eating.
Right. And it changed, you know, food regulation and all kinds of stuff in this country. That's totally true. And I think we are all so far removed from our food chain that it's just, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next.
Life on Mars.
Oh. Huh.
I'm half full, but it will probably be indentured servitude.
Oh, say more.
Well, it's going to be incredibly expensive.
As she sips her cocktail.
I'm alternating.
Yes.
which is going to be such a bad right night later on.
Oh, my Lord.
No, but look, it's going to be incredibly expensive to get to Mars for the foreseeable future. And so I think it's going to be either scientific research only, you know, like the Martian movie, or the people who do end up going there as, you know, air quote colonists, are going to either be the super rich who have like unlimited disposable income, which they will not be able to access or really use for the most part once they're on Mars, or people who can't afford it on their own, in which case you're basically on Mars on infrastructure that is owned by someone else that literally keeps you alive. And so you will, there's going to be a lot of political and economic dynamics at play there, where you are going to be in a confined and controlled space where your life and your ability to breathe and have access to any kind of food is going to be controlled by whatever entity, and you will have no option for escape. So sure, it's gonna happen.
Wow,
I'm half full, but the
for a space nerd, you just took all the joy out of Mars. Seriously,
I mean, I read a lot of sci-fi and science and fantasy, and so this issue has been hashed out in the sci-fi fantasy world for decades. We know how this goes down.
All right, fair enough. Meanwhile, they're gonna fly a helicopter on Mars in like the next probably month or so. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sorry, Drew, is there another one, or are we done? Was that it?
Where are we?
That's it. That's the smash. All right. There we go. There we go. Okay. We have a closing sting, I believe, Mr. Thorpe, and then we can move on with this program. There you go.
Yes. Phew. I mean, there's not really much to move on for. I mean, Molly's going to be back next week. So this has been fun. I'm glad I've been able to bring you the depressing news for this short week. And for now, questions, comments, hit us up at makemesmart@marketplace.org. If you're going to send something in, make sure you send a voice memo. Those always sound better. I will still entertain Stonktail recipes. I have a lot of extra booze in my house at the moment.
I love how you have all these ingredients too, right? I could no more scare up, you know, Midori than I could fly to Mars. Oh my god.
Oh no, I ordered it for delivery because the vast majority of those things I did not have.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Hang on, waiting for the hook. Hang on. Okay, now Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, who right now is saying, "What?" Tony Wagner, who is off today, is our digital producer. I think Mel Rosenberg stepped in, and thank you, Mel, for that. Ben Hethcote and Stephen Bion are our video producers. They're in a little bit of purgatory today because the live stream went kaplooey. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also our Make Me Smart explainers.
Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, who, bless his heart, had to go through a lot. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, and the senior producer is Donna Tam, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
I wonder how Daniel's doing. Just randomly.
I'm sure he's doing amazing because he's awesome.
Never get tired. Everybody's hanging in.
I don't know if I'm going to finish that green one, man.
You don't have to. You know, if it's yucky, don't drink it. That's all I'm saying.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.